At the close of our service tonight, after the final amen, I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to stay with us for a few minutes, and we're going to talk about our Christmas party and see if we can put some things together that we need to. I also need to tell you that in preparation for tonight's message, it has all been done, and I have it right here. But the more I got into the study for last Sunday, I realized that I needed to spend some more time dealing with the subject that I had last week. And so I have the privilege of doing that. And so tonight we're going to spend some more time, even though we're going to look at Revelation 1:20 in a few moments, our emphasis will still be in relationship to the preceding verses. So just wanted you to know where we are and what the pastor is up to this evening. Psalm 37, 4 and 5. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will do it. Psalm 37, 4 and 5. Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Philippians 4, 4. Psalm 33, 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance. Psalm 33, 12. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, and then back to Revelation 1, verse 19. You see Revelation chapter 1, verse 20 on the screen before you, and you see it also on the back of last Sunday's bulletin. If you'll take a look at last Sunday's bulletin, you will see that there are two verses there, Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, and Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. Our purpose for being here tonight is to focus our minds away from the things of the world, and focus our minds upon the eternal truths of God's Word. That's our reason and purpose for being here again tonight. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study because we realize the importance of being in a right relationship with Jesus Christ in order to properly study His Word. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we bow with grateful hearts tonight for the fact that we realize how important it is to receive spiritual fuel for our souls while our hearts are in proper relationship to Jesus Christ. You've given to us the magnificent system which we call the grace system of comprehension, which means that when we are receiving God's Word while being in harmony with Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God works effectively, and we're able to receive the truths that our hearts need to receive. Tonight we bow with grateful hearts for the fact that You have provided for us, and we are Your children, not because we deserve to be, but because of Your matchless grace and because of Your love for mankind. We know that the Scripture teaches us so vividly and beautifully that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, would not perish, but have eternal life. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by Me. And so we realize once again how fantastic it is for us to know without doubt that we have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home. And while we're here for these few years, help us to understand the importance of walking in the right pathway, living our lives unto the Lord, that we might be able to fulfill His magnificent plan for our lives. We're thankful for every wonderful blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the things that I've discovered about the Word of God is that you can study it and continue to study it day after day, week after week, month after month, and yes, year after year. And the Word of God is always alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I was going through some of our bulletins, and I found a bulletin that was produced May 11th of 1986. If I figure that correctly, that's more than 25 years ago. And in that bulletin, I was pastoring at that time two churches, this church and the Fairmont Community Church. And I looked at that bulletin that was produced May 11th, 1986. And inside of it, there was this information, the judgment seat of Christ. So that lets me know that I've been communicating God's Word for a long period of time. And these subjects are so fantastic and wonderful. And the subject that we have given you last week on Sunday is a subject that needs to be repeated over and over again. I had moved away from that subject in my mind, and when I came back on Monday and began the study for next Sunday, just reviewing a little bit what we were going to do tonight, I realized the fact that I didn't need to give you a study on Revelation 1:20. I needed to go back and reiterate some fantastic truths in these preceding verses. The first part of the service tonight will be information that you already have in your notes. And so you have to understand that I'm going to be going through it quite rapidly. And the reason for that is not because I'm not being unkind. I'm just letting you know that we've already been down this road, and yet it's important for us to see some of these things to be able to be properly prepared for the information that you're going to receive tonight. In Revelation chapter 1, we begin with verse 15. And his feet were like burnished bronze when it has been caused to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. And in his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in his strength. Verse 17, when I saw him, John, on the Isle of Patmos, I fell at his feet as a dead man. He laid his right hand upon me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades." Verse 19, write. Therefore, the things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which shall take place after these things. What I have emphasized to you in verse 19 is that it says, write. And you'll remember that we pointed out the fact that the Greek word there is an aorist, active, imperative, second person singular of grapho. G-R-A-P-H-O. Grapho. What the Lord is saying to John on the Isle of Patmos in a command is write. And then he says, the things which you have seen and the things which are, and the things which are about to occur after these things. I pointed out last week, and here I reiterate, that you will see that there is a chi, which is a conjunction, and. And you go down here and you see that there's another presentation of the same word, the conjunction chi. Write the things which you've seen, and the things which are, and the things which are about to occur after these things. One of the things that our Lord has presented to us is that the judgment seat of Christ falls into the presentation of three areas. There are three thrones on which the Lord Jesus Christ will sit. The judgment seat in heaven after the rapture. The second throne is the throne in Jerusalem on the earth, in Jerusalem during the millennium. And the third throne is the great white throne in heaven after the millennium. So I want to ask you, if you will, please, if you didn't get that, to be sure that you take those three points down. There are three thrones on which the Lord Jesus Christ will sit. The judgment seat in heaven after the rapture. The throne in Jerusalem on the earth in Jerusalem during the millennium. And the great white throne in heaven after the millennium. There's a general principle of Scripture that every member of the human race is accountable to God. There's no doubt in any of our minds here tonight that the Scripture says that every born-again believer has a responsibility to give an account to God. It's found in Jeremiah 17:10 and Jeremiah 32:19. There's a general principle then of Scripture that every member of the human race is accountable to God. Secondly, God will evaluate every person according to his deeds. Not according to his sins, but according to his deeds. This is magnificently presented to us in Revelation 22:12. I would encourage you to write that verse and look it up. God will evaluate every person according to his deeds. Revelation 22:12 and Psalm 11 verse 4. The next thing, all unbelievers will be evaluated at the great white throne judgment. This is presented to us in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. All believers in Christ will be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. I'm going to let you have a moment to look at that, and I'm going to take you to that passage of Scripture, which I did not do last Sunday, and that's 2 Corinthians 5:10. This is saying all believers in Christ will be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ. You'll look at the bottom part of the page there. The judgment seat of Christ is an evaluation of a Christian's production during his Christian life on the earth. There's no judgment of sin at the judgment seat. Believers' sins were judged at the cross, and Christ was our atonement for sin. Presented to us beautifully in John chapter 15 and Galatians 5. Back to the top of the page. All believers in Christ will be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ. There is a word that describes the judgment seat. It is the Greek word that we're going to analyze in detail tonight. It is the Greek word bema, which is B-E-M-A. When you look at the Greek, you will find that there's a beta, which is the B, and you'll find an eta, which is an E, and you'll find a mu, which is an M, and an alpha, which is an A. And if you look at that, if you spell it B-E-M-A, you would pronounce it bema. But when you have an eta instead of an epsilon, it's pronounced bema. And so in a few moments, when I throw that word on the screen, you just pronounce it correctly because I've had to learn it correctly. I've said bema over and over again because I spell it B-E-M-A, realizing that the E is not an epsilon, it is an eta. And so it is bema. Now, aren't you glad that I presented that information to you? The emphasis here is all believers in Jesus Christ will be evaluated at the judgment seat, 2 Corinthians 5:10. What does that passage say? It says, for all of us will be manifested before the tribunal, that's the bema, of Christ, in order that each one may receive the things done through the body according to what he practiced, either good or worthless. In a few moments, I'm going to be putting on the screen a word that I reiterated last Sunday, and that is a word that describes bad deeds. It is the Greek word phallos, which is the word that can be translated excrement, and we'll look at that. But let's look now again at 2 Corinthians 5:10. For all of us, all believers, will be manifested before the tribunal. The word tribunal is the Greek word B-E-M-A-T-O-S. Bematos. From the Greek word bema. B-E-M-A. So you can see it right here. It's B-E, that's an Ada, M-A-T-O-S. The tribunal, the bema of Christ. What's the reason for this? We'll look at this in detail in a few moments. But here it says, in order that each one may receive the things done through the body, somatos, face to face according to what things he practiced, either good, which is the Greek word agathos, or worthless, which is the Greek word phalos, P-H-A-U-L-O-S. We'll come back to that in a few moments, but let me go now to the continuation of what I presented to you before. Bad deeds, the Greek word is phalos, P-H-A-U-L-O-S. Bad deeds, phalos, refer to that which is worthless in the sight of God. These are not sins, but they are worthless production. Production which does not measure up to God's standard. These deeds are described in the scripture as wood, hay, stubble. We classify this as horizontal human good. These deeds are human good, horizontal good, wood, hay, and stubble, which are produced by believers when they are not in fellowship with Jesus Christ. They're in a carnal state, not filled with the Holy Spirit, during periods when sin is not being confessed on a regular basis. This is an important page, and I trust that last Sunday you got it. That's the reason why I'm not spending any more time tonight, but I did want to review because it's important and powerful for us to see this. The next word is the word which we've seen in 2 Corinthians 5. It's the word agathos. It is, as we've defined in the past, vertical good, divine good. The scripture calls it gold, silver, precious stones. It is the Greek word agathos, A-G-A-T-H-O-S, which is production by a believer who is walking in fellowship and who is controlled by the Holy Spirit. In fellowship, a Christian will be controlled by the Holy Spirit, will be occupied with Jesus Christ, and will live in the Word. The power for his production or her production comes directly from God and not from self. This is another powerful page. God's good, gold, silver, precious stones, divine good, vertical good, is described not as phalos, but agathos. Agathos is that production by a believer who is walking consistently in fellowship with Jesus Christ, controlled by the Holy Spirit, living the life occupied with the Lord. The power for his production then comes directly from God and not from self. We turn again to the word phalos and agathos. All production of the believer, phalos or agathos, will be evaluated at the judgment seat. The instrument of evaluation is described as fire. The production which is not burned up during the evaluation, which is gold, silver, and precious stones, will be the basis of rewards for the believer. And this is presented to us beautifully in 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 14. You might want to take that passage down, 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 14. All production of the believer, phalos or agathos, will be evaluated at the judgment seat. The instrument of evaluation is fire. The production which is not burned up during the evaluation will be gold, silver, and precious stones. And that will be the basis of rewards for the believer in 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 14. A believer should never try to evaluate another believer's production. We mentioned this last Sunday, and some of you smiled, and some of you even gave a little chuckle. So I want you to realize that that is true. A believer should never try to evaluate another believer's production, because the scripture says, to his own master, he stands or falls. This simply means that each one of us will stand or fall in relationship to our own individual self, not someone else. It's not a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter or mother or daddy. It's not that at all. The scripture reveals that each one of us will give an account for himself. Now I'll go to a passage of scripture that I want you to see also. And that's James 3:16, which says, for where jealousy and envying are, there is tumult, confusion, and every worthless work. And the word worthless there is the Greek word phallos. The way that it's used here is the accused is singular. The reason why it has an omicron nu at the end, phallos, is the Greek word. But the way it's used here, it's the accusative case. For where jealousy, envying are, there is confusion and every worthless, evil work. Now, what is interesting here is that this is saying that individuals who travel this way are individuals who chose to go a way that they're going to be practicing. And you'll notice that I've put in parentheses so you could see that the word work actually means practicing, a responsibility that all of us have. Now, if you will, please let me begin where I left off last Sunday, planning not to go back, but feeling after I left last Sunday that it was important that I come back and present to you this subject of the Bema. So I'm going to put on the screen now, this is new information, not given to you last Sunday. We have the word Bema at the top. And while you're looking at this, I've just given you a brief outline so that I can spend time describing this so that you'll be able to write a few notes as we move along. The word Bema is used in the Gospel and in the book of Acts of a raised platform where a Roman magistrate or ruler sat to make decisions and pass sentence. That's the first thing that I want you to see about the word Bema. In Matthew 27:19, John 19:13. The Bema is used in the epistles by the Apostle Paul because of his many allusions to the Greek athletic contest. The word Bema was taken from the games, which were the contestants, where the contestants would compete for a prize. The winner or the victor of a given event would be led by the judge to a platform called the Bema, and there the laurel wreath would be placed on the head as a symbol of victory. This is presented to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 and 25. What's interesting is that the Apostle Paul is picturing the believer as a competitor in a spiritual contest. As the Grecian athlete appeared before the Bema to receive a perishable award, so the Christian, the scripture says, will appear before Christ's Bema to receive an imperishable award. In other words, the judge at the Bema bestows rewards to the winners, the victors. I put in my notes in capital letters right here, he did not whip the losers, nor did he sentence them to hard labor. The Bema portrays a time of rewards or loss of rewards, following an examination, but not a time where believers are judged for their sins. That would be inconsistent with the total work of Jesus Christ on the cross. This tells me then that grace covers the past, the present, and the future sins. Isn't that wonderful? To know that God's grace covers the past, the present, and the future sins. So at the judgment seat of Christ, there's no judgment presented, as revealed in John 3:18, John 5:24, John 6:37, Romans 5:1, Romans 8:1, and 1 Corinthians 11:32. What you're saying to me tonight, and you have a right to say it, you certainly have given a lot of information on point one, and I have. But I wanted just to give you a quick overview of the Scripture and comments related to the Scripture. Romans 14:10, 2 Corinthians 5:10, which we've already analyzed. The second point that you see on the screen for Bema is when. When, and the answer to that is, this event will occur immediately following the rapture, when the church is caught up, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:13. You might want to just put a little note out by the side of the word when. You can abbreviate this. This event will occur immediately following the rapture, when the church is caught up, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and following. The third point on the screen, one word, question mark, Bema, place. Where is the place? And the answer to that is, it will occur somewhere in the heavenlies, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will occur somewhere in the heavenlies, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is presented to me in Revelation 4:2, Revelation 19:8, and 1 Thessalonians 4:17. The fourth point that I have on the screen, with a question mark behind it, who are the participants of the Bema? Let me see if I can answer that quickly. All the passages dealing with the Bema of rewards are addressed to believers or pertain to believers of the church age. Many verses that relate to this. 1 Thessalonians 2:19-20. 1 Timothy 6:18-19. Titus 2:12-14. What am I saying now about number four? The participants, all believers, regardless of their spiritual state, will be raptured, will stand before the Bema to give an account of their lives, and will either receive rewards or loss of rewards. I don't know what this does to you, but I trust that it will put a little fear in you, just as it's put fear in me. This is simply saying that every believer is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Who will be the judge, number five? Let me give it to you. The Bema, the examiner, or the judge, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our examiner. He is our rewarder. That's the answer to number five. Number six, perhaps up to this point you say, well, I have felt like that this is rather negative. I have sensed some negative attitudes and some negative feelings. Well, let me give you some positive aspects. The positive aspects I have put down is three. One, to evaluate the quality of every believer's work, whether it is good or bad, acceptable and thus worthy of rewards, unacceptable, to be rejected and unworthy of rewards. Now what you need to do is look at that statement in relationship to the positive side, acceptable and thus worthy of rewards. The second thing that I see here is that this is a time in relationship to the unacceptable production, which is described as wood, hay, and stubble, that sinful deeds, thoughts, and motives, as well as the good done in the energy of the flesh, will be gone. Now you'll have to think about that. And the third thing, to reward the believer for all the good portrayed by the symbol of gold, silver, precious stones. In other words, these can stand the test of fire. Now what you've done tonight, you've listened so attentively. I've tried to give you information. But now I've come to the point where I want to summarize the whole thing. I believe that this will help us put it together. The judgment seat of Christ, summary. The judgment seat of Christ eliminates any need for any other human evaluation of your life. I'm sure that some of you are saying, well, whatever the Lord does is enough in evaluation. And I promise you that is true. But that's what Romans 14:10 tells us. The judgment seat of Christ eliminates any need for any other human evaluation of your life. The second thing that you see on the screen is the judgment seat of Christ is an evaluation of the works of the flesh, human effort, and divine good, works of the Spirit, as recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. While you're looking at that, let me put this verse back up here for you. For all of us, please notice, 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for all of us, what I could do is stop and look at each one of these Greek words for you with you, but let me do it rapidly. Right here, we have what is known as a post-positive conjunctive particle gar. Post-positive conjunctive particle gar simply means that it is a Greek word that is not used first in the sentence, but it is translated first. That's the reason why I have it up here, for. Pontos is the word for all. Hamos is a personal pronoun for all of us. Boy, you talk about something that's fantastic and pungent and powerful. All of us. Not one missing. All believers. Then it says, will be manifested. Phanerōo is an interesting word. It is an aorist, passive, infinitive of the Greek word phanerōo, which means to be presented, to be manifested. Did you notice what I have up here for you? The way that the Greek word is used. If you'll notice, what we have in this word, when you study a Greek word, you will discover that they're basically a prefix, a preceding part, a root part, and an ending, a suffix. And there are Greek titles that presented to describe this, which I won't go into. But when I look at this word, immediately I see in this word two letters, theta, eta. See those right there? Theta, eta. That tells me immediately that this is a passive voice. The passive voice says the subject receives the action of the verb. Active voice says the subject does the acting. The middle voice says the subject participates in the action and is benefited thereby normally. But you notice that this is a passive voice. Aorist tense means at a point of time. I won't go into all the details. At a point of time, each believer will be the recipient of this manifestation. That's the reason why it's a passive voice. But it's also an infinitive mood. The infinitive mood is the mood of wish or desire. It's God's plan. He's going to do it. You put it down. There's going to be an evaluation of every born-again believer. All of us will be manifested. We're the recipient. We will be the recipients of that manifestation before the Bema of Christ, before the judgment seat of Christ. Why? Hina, which is explaining the reason in order that each one would receive. Oh, let's look at the word receive. Did you see what type of word it is? Again, it's an aorist tense, a point of time. What did I say a few moments ago about the middle voice? The middle voice, the subject participates in the action and is normally benefited thereby. If it's positive, the benefit comes. If it's negative, the benefit doesn't come. Each one may receive the things done. Preposition, dia, through, the body, somatos, Aren't you enjoying all these little different Greek words and how fantastic it is? I need to tell you that I enjoy doing it, and I'm trying to let you have a little bit of the enjoyment in order that each one may receive. Subjunctive verb. Some of it will be good. Some of it will not be so good. The rewards or the lack of rewards. The rewards or the loss of rewards. Things done through the body. According to another wonderful word, pros, face to face, to what things that person practiced. Either agathos, intrinsic good, God's good, or excrement, worthless. You see how powerful this verse is? You see the reason why I put it up here for you to see? Now, let's go back. The judgment seat of Christ is an evaluation of the human efforts, works of the flesh, and divine good, works of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:10, which we've just exegeted. Number 3. The judgment seat of Christ is a time of loss or gain of rewards. I will not take the time now to look this up and look and read it to you and with you, but please put that one down. 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 16. Now, I only have 7 points, so stay with me, please. Number 4. Rewards can be denied, but salvation not lost at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. That's so powerful, and you need to put this down, 2 Timothy 2:12-13. All of us are going to be there. The Scripture says everyone is going to give an account of himself. But however the situation is, as far as our lack of success in production spiritually, there's no loss of salvation. Rewards can be denied, but salvation not lost at the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 tells us something so magnificently. It says that a person may decide, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they're going to even begin to deny the fact that they ever knew Him. They're going to say, I never knew You, Lord. I don't want You to even consider me any longer. I'm no longer one of Your children. Does that mean that the person is not one of His children? Let me tell you something. You were born into a family. I was born into a family. I love my family. My mother and my dad have gone on to be with the Lord. I wouldn't change my name for anything. If I had to go over again, if I started back young, I would just call myself Clout instead of Clute, because everybody's confused with it anyway. And so that's what I would do if I started over, but it's too late for me to do that. And so I have to go around explaining how to pronounce my name and how to spell it. But anyway, I want you to know that my dad and my mother are responsible genetically for my being here. But God is responsible for my being here. Do you get what I just said? Genetically, my mother and my daddy, I'm not going to go into any details. I think you understand. My mother and my daddy, I was born into that family. And I could leave that family and say, I deny You, Dad. Would that make me unborn? No. If I said to my mother, let me tell you something. I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. So you just put it down. I'm not your child. Would that be foolish? Because I am her child. You see what I'm saying? Rewards can be denied, but salvation not lost at the judgment seat of Christ. Look at that passage when you will, please. 2 Timothy 2:12-13. And you'll smile with thanksgiving when you look at that passage. Number 5, walking out of fellowship means a loss in 2 ways. One is we lose while we're here on the earth. And the other is we lose in eternity. This simply says, God bless you. We're glad you're here and that you can sneeze, because if you couldn't sneeze, you'd be in trouble. But anyway, walking out of fellowship means loss in 2 ways, on earth and in eternity. Look at number 6. The judgment seat of Christ is actually God's grace in action. This is one of the greatest thoughts that you could have. The judgment seat of Christ is actually God's grace in action. James chapter 2, 12 and 13. Judged by the law of liberty. And then if you will, look number 7. The ancient games. Most of you have heard me present the information about the ancient games. We'll probably do that again someday. But the ancient games depict the rewards of the judgment seat of Christ, presented in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. Disaster occurs when arrogant people fail to see their own inconsistencies. This is something we need to think about. Disaster occurs when arrogant people fail to see their own inconsistencies. Always thinking about the inconsistencies of others. That's when disaster occurs. The next thing is disaster occurs when bad decisions create bad environment, known as degeneration. There are a lot of people in our land making bad decisions. At times, all of us make bad decisions. But more often, some make more bad decisions than others. Disaster occurs when bad decisions create bad environment, known as degeneration. Disaster occurs when jealous people and envious nations fail to see their own sins and evil. Their evil production. And they only look at the sins and the evil production of others. We'll present this again, but it's something for you to remember. God has blessed all of us. I trust that you have the information. Where jealousy and envying are, there is confusion and every worthless practice. And the word worthless there is the word phallos. I'm not going to reiterate any of this. You've seen it, haven't you? We started tonight with this. There are three thrones on which the Lord Jesus will sit. The judgment seat in heaven after the rapture. The throne in Jerusalem on the earth, in Jerusalem during the millennium. And the great white throne judgment after the millennium. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful tonight for the challenge of your wonderful word. There are so many things for us to see, so many things for us to learn. And tonight we're here to express again our appreciation for the fact that we realize that one day we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds, the activities done, either production in fellowship or the deeds done out of harmony. Help us to understand the importance of walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ. And for those who hear the message who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we pray that this will be the very moment when they will understand that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the person of Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life." We realize that there's no way to be saved other than through Jesus Christ. And the scripture says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." And so we pray that there will be those who will do that just now. And we thank you over and over again for the fact that you love us and care for us. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll stay just a few moments, please, I would appreciate that. We have some things we want to discuss with you. We'll let Mike turn off all the information there. John to come stand by my side. And I think I can